Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Talk to the Hand podcast.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Jimmy.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good episode on Saved by the Bell last week.
It was. And be honest, have you watched Show Girls 2?
I haven't. Mm. It's on the list, though.
added it to the list. Well, you added the 1 point. What was it?
1.5?
1.8. 1.8. Oh, okay. 1.8 to your list.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been out of the house with the kids since, so there's always one of you around, so I'm scared to watch it just in case. Do you know, once I was watching a film, it was a horror movie, and it was something about like a motel where the owner was a creepy kind of guy, and he was...
Psycho.
Had cameras. No, a much more modern one. In the last sort of 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
And he had cameras in it among the room. And there was a really uncomfortable scene. I was telling my mate this the other day. And there was a scene that was of a highly adult nature. Mm. And I realised that the way the telly was positioned, the front window of the house was open. Anyone walking past would have thought I was watching something quite specialist. And it just suddenly struck, damn, no, I'm watching horror, honestly. So we've got a different type of episode today, haven't we, Beth?
We have.
We're going to do an episode on a stalwart of the 90s television, and indeed a stalwart from the 60s all the way through to the end of her life.
All the way, and it's incredible the decades that she covered, and right until the end she was as iconic as she was when she started.
We're talking about, of course, Cilla Black.
Cilla Black, the amazing Cilla Black.
So we're going to go straight into the episode. We really hope you enjoy it, but for now...
Rewind to the 90s.
Priscilla Maria Veronica White was born on the 27th of May 1943. She grew up in the Scotland Road area of Liverpool. Part of a close family, her dad John Patrick White and her mum Priscilla Blytham were both musical. Her dad was a Protestant docker and her mum a Catholic market stall worker. She recalled growing up in a flat above George Murray's barbershop. She said, "I had a very happy childhood and all my family loved music. My brother George loved Frank Sinatra and Jim Reeves and my brother John loved jazz. He used to play the clarinet and the saxophone, so I had a musical family."
She added, "On a Saturday night, we all did a turn when we had sing-along back at ours once the pubs had closed. It was one of those sing-alongs that I did my very first performance. I must have been 3 or 4 and someone spotted me and put me on the kitchen table and I did the Good Ship Lollipop. I got a round of applause and after that I was hooked. Mam claimed my singing talent came from the Welsh side of the family and she did have a wonderful soprano voice. Although my dad, who had an Irish Catholic background, claimed it came from his side of the family."
It's funny that, because whenever our kids misbehave, I always say they're your kids. And when they do something good, I say they're mine. Yeah. Cilla went to St. Anthony's School and Anfield Commercial College, but always dreamed of being a singer. And she got a job as a cloakroom attendant at the Cavern Club, where she was friends with the Beatles. Her impromptu performances impressed the Beatles and others. She was encouraged to start singing by a Liverpool promoter, Sam Leach, who gave her her first gig at the Casanova Club, where she appeared as Swingin' Cilla. That means something quite different.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? She became a guest singer with the Merseybeat bands Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, King Size Taylor and the Dominoes, and later with the Big Three. She was also a waitress at the Zodiac Coffee Lounge, where she met her future husband and love of her life, Bobby Willis.
She was featured in an article in the first edition of the local newspaper Merseybeat. One story says the paper's publisher, Bill Harry, mistakenly referred to her as Cilla Black rather than White, and she decided she liked the name and took it as a stage name. But there are other stories which say that the name came from her manager, Brian Epstein.
Championed by her friends, the Beatles, Black began her career as a singer in 1963. Her singles, Anyone Who Had a Heart and You're My World, both reached a number one in the UK in 1964. Just, you know, casual friends. Her friends were the Beatles.
Yeah. It's not really a bad start, is it?
It isn't.
So Black's career in the United States was limited to a few television appearances and success with You're My World, which made it to number 26 on the Billboard Hot 100. The song was to be her only American Top 30 chart success, and Elvis Presley had a copy on his personal jukebox at his Graceland home. Black recognised that to achieve popular status in the USA, she would need to devote much time to touring there. But she was plagued by homesickness and a sense of loneliness, and she returned to the UK.
Mm. While Epstein guided Cilla to the top of the UK charts, Epstein's attempts to make Black a film actress was less successful. She had a couple of appearances that didn't gain much traction, but she was asked to appear in the film The Italian Job, 1969. playing the part Michael Caine's girlfriend, but negotiations fell through between producers and her management over her fee.
So her manager Epstein died of an accidental drug overdose in August 1967, not long after negotiating a contract with the BBC for Black to appear in a television series of her own. So the show would be titled Cilla and aired between 1968 and 1976. Black was considered to take over from Bruce Forsyth as host of The Generation Game in 1978, but she wanted to maintain her singing career and was not ready to change course so drastically to light entertainment hostess, or at least not at that
stage.
Yeah,
I was going to say, she does sing. Relations between Epstein and Black had somewhat soured during the year prior to his death, largely because she felt he was not paying her career enough attention.
So in her autobiography, Black said that Epstein had tried to pacify her by negotiating a deal that would see her representing the UK in the 1968 Eurovision Song Contest. However, Black refused on the basis that Sandy Shaw had won the previous year's contest and the chances of another British female artist winning the following year were quite remote. So after the death of the manager, Epstein, Black's boyfriend and songwriter, Bobby Willis, assumes management responsibilities. Cilla Black then married Bobby at Marylebone Town Hall in January 1969.
I'm thinking, can we call her Cilla instead of Black?
We could do.
Yeah, I'm thinking Black said this and Black said that, and it's like, it's a bit mean, Cilla.
Okay. I feel like I've been reprimanded.
While it all seemed like a fairy tale, like any marriage, there were challenges, Cilla said. See, it sounds better. Bobby and I had all sorts of rows before we got married, but once we were married, they became tiffs instead.
Under Brian Epstein's management and then her husband Bobby, she became the best-selling British female recording artist in the UK during the 1960s.
Yeah.
She released 15 studio albums and 37 singles. Busy girl.
Busy, busy girl. By the mid-1970s, conscious of her waning appeal as a singer, Cilla attempted to reinvent herself as a light comedian via the ITV series Cilla's Comedy 6 and Cilla's World of Comedy in 1975-76, which comprising six one-off comedy playlists. These garnered mixed reviews, and so she returned to live performance, appearing only sporadically on television until the early 1980s. I like that she was giving it a go. I like she was giving it a try.
Well,
reviews weren't great, so she went back to what she started.
But then she went on to become a huge TV star, and that was as host of two of the most popular and long-running evening entertainment shows of the 80s and the 90s, Blind Date and Surprise, Surprise. Never one to do things by halves, she became the highest-paid female performer on British television. So Blind Date's format neatly combined voyeurism and prurience. It involved contestants picking partners from behind a screen. The couple then went on a trip to an exotic destination before returning to be quizzed by Cilla as to whether the spark of romance was kindled or more likely snuffed out.
Yeah.
A staple of Saturday night ITV schedules for nearly two decades, it finally ended after Cilla sensationally took advantage of a live special edition to announce her resignation as host to the surprise and alarm of the producers of the show.
But that is Cilla having that control, isn't it?
That's star power.
That is.
But Blind Date was, I distinctly remember it, and there were so many things that stick out. So there was always the exaggerated accent, the Laura laughs, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There was also R. Graham. Here's R. Graham with a quick reminder.
Yeah.
But there was one particular episode where a journalist had actually gone on the show, and I can't remember if they were the picker or the picky.
Yeah, yeah.
But they ended up going on the holiday. In the meantime, the producers of the show found out it was a journalist who was doing a story on them. So when they came back to talk through it, Cilla kind of ambushed them on the city and she challenged them on it and really put them in their place. And it was really like, oh, well, you've taken the opportunity away from someone else. And it was quite interesting to watch. Yeah.
What was always good is catching up from the week before. Oh, let's see how they got on. And the fact that if they hated each other or if they actually quite liked each other. But yeah,
they were so funny
because then they'd talk about the holiday and what obviously went wrong. Most of the time it did go wrong. There were a few, though.
There were a few.
Yeah,
she had to get a hat for, she used to talk about. But then, of course, the other show was Surprise, Surprise, and that was quite more of an emotional show, I would say, where people who from many, many years in the past had lost touch with a family member or someone that meant a lot to them.
Yeah, reuniting with your loved ones or people that helped you.
But it was always so predictable that what was coming, and so they had a really nice tone for when she was listening to the story and saying, oh, and you never got to see them again. Well, surprise. And then
they're here.
I imagine if you were watching that at the time, you would have been bawling your eyes out.
Bawling every time. God, they've met the person they haven't seen for yet.
And there was a bit where she used to walk out into the audience and she talked to a couple of people, and then suddenly she turned on someone and it was like, that's the one, they're the one getting the surprise today, kind of thing.
She was awarded an OBE in 97, but 2 years later, tragedy was to strike. On the 23rd of October in 1999, aged 57, Bobby died of lung and liver cancer at the Royal Free Hospital in London. Following the passing of her husband, Cilla stepped back from the limelight. As I said, he was the love of her life.
He was.
So, you know, and behind her with all of her career so far. So that would be just devastating.
It was. And her son, Robert Willis, took over her management. When he spoke about his mum and dad's extraordinary relationship, he said, in a time where men really didn't do that, my father was never afraid to walk a couple of steps behind carrying my mother's handbag. He was with her.
That's so cute. Would you carry my handbag?
Anyway.
Go on, Jimmy.
Of course I would, Ben. He was with her at every recording, always just off camera in case she needed anything. Mm. He never left her side. Their relationship was unique. My father always pushed my mother to the fore. He made sure that she was happy and well looked after, never looking for the limelight himself. She could be broadcast into millions, but she'd just look off camera and there he'd be, making sure everything ran smoothly.
I was going to cry again.
Surprise, surprise, Beth. They were the ultimate team. They couldn't have done it without each other. And the son continued, for him, the team was always the most important thing. And he was right. My mother became the highest paid female presenter on television. If they were both working on their own, would they have achieved as much? I don't know. But I know they were happy as they were.
Mm, that's nice. And you hear about celebrity couples working very closely together. We talked our episode of Celine Dion, didn't we? Her management was her husband and they seemed to have a good relationship. But obviously, it's lovely to see with Bobby and Cilla, it lasted, and him being her manager, letting her have the limelight, letting her be the highest paid thing without any jealousy or resentment is just wonderful.
And I think the impact, though, of that relationship is that after he died, close friends of Cilla said that she never got over his death. The couple had never spent more than four nights apart in their three decades as husband and wife. And in an interview she did after Bobby's death, she said, without Bobby, I felt so alone. Before, I used to be terrified of flying, but his death cured me. For a while afterwards, I couldn't wait to get on a plane. I thought, if the plane crashes, great. I want something to take me now. After Bobby's death, her best friend, Paul O'Grady, swooped in and whisked her off to New York, where he admitted he was a bad influence. After Bobby died, he said, we sat up at 5 a.m. in the morning and decided to go and stay with Peter Brown in New York, which we did. He recalled delivering a eulogy at a funeral. He says, I introduced her to the finer things of New York, like bars, burlesque shows and nightclubs with such reputations that the taxi drivers were always unsure about dropping us off.
Cilla published her best-selling autobiography, What's It All About, in 2003. And in 2006, she was one of the judges in Soapstar Superstar.
ITV commemorated Cilla Black's remarkable 50 years in the entertainment industry with a unique entertainment special that aired on the 16th of October 2013 titled The One and Only Cilla Black. The show featured Cilla alongside host Paul O'Grady celebrating her illustrious career. The programme included a nostalgic journey back to her hometown of Liverpool, appearances by numerous celebrity friends and unexpected musical guests. Additionally, Cilla revisited the iconic moments of Blind Date with the reunion of its beloved contestants and made a special appearance in an episode of Coronation Street.
In 2014, a three-part television drama series titled Cilla portrayed the life of Cilla Black, highlighting her ascent to the stardom in the 60s, Liverpool and her connection with Bobby Willis. The initial episode premiered on the 15th of September 2014, featuring actress Sheridan Smith, one of my faves, and I remember watching Cilla. It's amazing.
Well, Cilla at the time said that she was really, really happy with it. I think they had involved her in the makeup of the story and that kind of thing. But she was delighted with Sheridan's
portrayal of her.
Yeah,
definitely.
She also said some of it was so accurate and close to it that it gave her that feeling inside.
Which is a brilliant, it means it did They did it well.
Unfortunately, by the time Cilla reached her 70s, she was battling health problems of her own. She'd been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and she was in considerable pain. She was also struggling with hearing problems, and although she admitted that her son Robert wanted her around for as long as possible, she herself didn't want to linger.
In a heartbroken interview just before she died, Cilla said, 75 is a good age to go. I still think that way.
Secretly, I don't want to linger. I don't want to be a burden on anybody. I know 75 is only 4 years away, but I take each day as I find it. The hearing is the bugbear. I now have an implant in my ear to help my hearing, which I have to turn off at night. I'm talking in an echo chamber at the moment. I guess that's just getting old. It will come to you too.
When Cilla died, a heartbroken Paul said it was like a light went out in his life. On the 1st of August 2015, at the age of 72, Cilla Black died at her holiday home in the Spanish town of Espanona. She was survived by her sons, Robert, Ben and Jack. A spokesperson for the High Court of Justice in Andalusia suggested that an accident may have been a contributing factor to Cilla's death. Following the results of an autopsy, her sons confirmed that she had died from a stroke following a fall in her home. A pathologist's report confirmed that Cilla had suffered a hemorrhage after falling backwards and hitting her head, presumably on a terrace wall. It was believed she had not been found for at least 4 hours.
In the days following her death, a book of condolence was opened at Liverpool Town Hall. Then Prime Minister David Cameron stated, Cilla Black was a huge talent who made significant contributions to public life in Britain. My thoughts are with her family. Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Sheridan Smith, Holly Johnson, Cliff Richard and Paul O'Grady were among friends and colleagues in the entertainment industry who expressed their sorrow at Black's death. Comedian Jimmy Tarbuck, who'd been a friend for decades, said, she was the girl next door that everybody loved and would have loved as a daughter or a daughter-in-law. Songwriter Burt Bacharach said, it will always be my most special memory for me recording her on Alfie in Abbey Road Studios in 1965. Broadcaster Noel Edmonds said she'd captured the hearts of the British people because she was our Cilla and there was no airs or graces.
Cilla's funeral service was held on the 20th of August 2015 at St Mary's Church, Walton. Tom Williams, the Roman Catholic Auxiliary Bishop of Liverpool, led the service. Cliff Richard sang at the service and Paul O'Grady gave the eulogy, in which he recalled their raucous antics and told mourners, if I had to sum Cilla up in one word, it would be laughter, because that's all we did. We got up to a lot of trouble, but we laughed while we were doing it.
Spoken tributes, prayers and readings were made by Cilla's sons Robert and Ben, by Jimmy Tarbuck and Christopher Biggins. The Beatles' song The Long and Winding Road was played as the coffin left the church. She was buried in a private ceremony at Allerton Cemetery in Allerton on the same day. On the 21st of August 2015, the day after her funeral, The Very Best of Cilla Black, a compilation album of her most popular songs of her career, went to number one on the UK albums charts. It was Cilla's first number one album.
See, with all of her successes.
But a lot of the success was with singles, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. First number one album. Over her lifetime, Cilla had hosted more than 500 television shows of her own and made over 400 guest appearances on other British shows, making her one of the most televised female stars in the history of British television. And that, Jimmy, is the story of Cilla Black.
What an amazing story. And I still haven't quite got over being told off for using Black rather than Cilla.
Yeah, well, it was nicer. More respectful. Oh, Cilla, not Black. I enjoyed that. It was lovely. I remember Blind Date back in the 80s and 90s. That's where I think. But it's over the years, and obviously we weren't around in the 60s and 70s, but it was that programme, Cilla, that Sheridan Smith, obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of Sheridan Smith, and she did. And I remember, I always like it because there's the sentimentality. I always like it if someone is being portrayed by a real person, that it's endorsed by that real person. And I remember at the time, as Sheridan Smith had said, oh, she met with Cilla, and Cilla really enjoyed the drama herself. Watching that type of programme on Cilla is amazing. Learning about her life there, and then obviously the love that she had for her husband, the music career, going from music to television. All of those decades, and she just reinvented herself. And I also love the fact that she went over to America and she was like, nah, not really my thing, I'm homesick. So she came back.
Can't be bothered. She definitely did things in her own way. And now, if we're being completely transparent, there are also some stories out there where she was quite a difficult person.
Yeah, at times. You could imagine her as a diva completely.
She was a diva, yeah. And in interviews she could be less than nice to the reporters at the time, but no doubt at times they were less than nice to her as well. It's difficult probably to remain grounded when you've been a star for 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of your life you've been the toast of the town kind of thing. It must be difficult to remain entirely grounded. She was the most successful female artist in Britain in the 60s.
Yeah.
She was the highest paid female presenter in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
She'd achieved a lot. And I think a lot of our memories of the 90s, she's in and around there somewhere through Blind Date and Surprise. My mum was she loved those programmes, both of them actually.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd watch and as someone was reunited, you'd look over and you'd see mum smiling to herself, and, you know, as if it was being produced just for her.
But don't you think at the time, even if you weren't focusing on those programmes like Surprise and Blind Date, we were aware of them on because they were that Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the Generation Game, Noel's House Party, all of those programmes. It was the Saturday night entertainment, which is lost. I know they've tried to recreate it, and Gladiators, the reboot, has been really successful.
Well, there was a reboot of Blind Date, I think, at some point, but it's never going to be. Wasn't it Alan Carr who did it?
Did it? Oh, he would have been quite good.
I thought he did.
Oh.
I'm going to have to check now.
But it's that whole, what we're missing is that Saturday night entertainment in a show like that.
Yeah, so it did return in 2017, apparently.
But you see, but then we're not interested in watching Blind Date, are we now, with the kids? The kids are too young, they wouldn't...
I wouldn't have been that interested at the time, looking back, but somehow it was on the television. And it wasn't like now where there's thousands and thousands of different channels you can choose from, and on-demand television where you could just go on and choose what you want to watch. You had a choice of four channels. Pick one. And it was four channels if you had the aerial twisted in the right way, because it could have been three otherwise. Yeah. Maybe even two and a half.
I'm trying to think of any other dating shows. Do you know what's come to think? Do you remember Paddy? No, Paddy McGuinness. No likey, no lighty.
Oh, yeah, but there was that other one, Man O' Man.
Man O' Man, you had to push him in the water.
You had to push him in the water. Yeah.
But that was 90s, wasn't it? Man O' Man, I think.
Maybe early 2000s. Yeah, it was. I'm trying to think of...
Yeah, it did. You had them lined up and you had to put the woman, if she didn't like him, just pushed him in the water. What are we watching?
I know, and we're sitting here going, television's not safe, when you've got every kind of drama that you could possibly wish for, every kind of box set.
You're like Line of Duty.
And we're harping back to the days where we
pushing people in the water.
Where we were starved of true entertainment, and we like You Bet and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, so we really hope you enjoyed the episode. It was a mixed one, really. It was a lady who at times had a reputation for being difficult, who obviously came to a sad end of her life, which really started at the point that the love of her life had passed away. But equally, there was a great amount of success there from a very young age all the way through her life. So an incredible career, a real stalwart of the 90s, among other decades.
And it all started from a little sing-along after the pub when she was 4 years old.
When she was lifted up onto the kitchen table. Yeah. If I lift you up to the kitchen table, Beth, later on, will you sing a song for the family?
Do you want me to sing a song for the family? Because normally you say no.
Definitely not.
So there you go.
Really hope you've enjoyed episode 41. We look forward to having you back on next week. But until then,
talk to the hand.